This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
So welcome to another episode of the only unofficial AFC Wimbledon podcast out there, the Wombles Had a Dream. My name is Lee Finch, and as ever, I am joined tonight by Danny Baker. Danny, how are we? We good?
I'm absolutely terrific, mate. How are you doing? All right?
Yeah, not bad. Well, I was sick, as you know. I spoke to you during the week. I had another virus come through the house because the baby, so me, the missus, and the other one were sick. So
is that because of the two goals against Hartlepool, the fact that we got in the nosebleeds, was it?
Oh, mate, I didn't eat for 2 days. I was throwing up, slept for about 20 hours.
You look like an absolute Olympian, mate.
It weren't very nice. Now, I feel like back to normal. Yeah, it weren't very nice, but it weren't great, but yeah.
No, it was just, we were talking before, really sad today about Motson, and obviously poor John Motson, and, well, not poor John Motson, actually, brilliant John Motson. I don't know about you, but... my wife was telling me, she was like, oh, this commentator died. And I turned around and the only line that they had of John Motson's was, of course, the famous line from the cup final. And it was just like, he was pretty wicked, wasn't he, Motson? Were you a Motson or a Davies man? Where were you? Because normally you were one or the
Motson.
Motson.
Yeah, Motty.
I was a Motson fan. Motty.
I just, and the old sheepskin jacket. So I think it was on TalkSport today. I think someone said, if you ever see someone in a sheepskin jacket, woman, man, you always thought of John Motson. And you always think like, and he, for me, he was the voice of football, John Motson. And everything he said was just, you listen to. And I never really understood the commentators, what they do. Like Clive Tilsley is one of my favourites.
Oh, do you like Clive Tilsley?
Yeah, love him. But you see the effort they put in. If you look at their... and I think, again...
They're like crib sheets, aren't they?
I listen to TalkSport quite a lot, as people obviously hear. But Taxi Driver, so that's what we listen to.
Yeah.
But they said about Sam Matterface, who's going to be probably the younger generation's John Motson, back as he gets older. But they see the folders and the stats and everything they put together to have four commentators, and it just blows my mind, really. Yeah, it's a really sad day because it's weird because when you hear about people, he just suddenly passed away, I think, as well. It weren't like he was ill and stuff, and do you know what I mean? At 77, it was a sad one because it just come out of the blue today, and it was like, yeah, John. And as you said, one of his biggest lines ever was, Wimbledon were involved in it.
I was listening to it, and they were talking about. And I actually met him, my mate Nick, if he's listening, he'll love this. We were standing, I can't remember which game it was. It might have been the game where we relegated Sunderland, you know. You remember we relegated last game of the season, they came to ours and we beat them.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing John Motson, And I was like, oh my God, I've got to go and say hello to him. And I don't know, have you ever met a commentator, like spoken to him in the flesh? It's a really weird...
Only Mikey T.
Okay. Because it's always a bit weird when you kind of have got a commentator, a radio commentator or something, and you don't see them. It's just they're behind the screen and they start talking. And then when you see them, it's like a voiceover artist. So I remember seeing him at Selhurst, and I was like, oh, John Morrison. I was like, 14 or 15. I was running down, and John Morrison, you're unbelievable. You're fantastic. You're my favourite commentator. I think you're the best in the world. And he literally just did his voice. He went, well, I don't know about that. And I literally lost. I'm not going to swear, but I absolutely lost all everything. I just got so excited because I was like, oh my God, I can see him actually talking. But how important do you think they are, commentators? Because I don't know how you watch the iFollow at times, but a lot of the times when I'm watching it, I can't get a commentator.
The problem I've got with this, Danny, is I really want to stay really respectful to John Watson and what happened, like he's passed away and stuff. But you've asked me a subject now on commentators, and especially AFC women commentators, and you obviously didn't hear the debrief and what I put on Twitter. The Hartlepool game, I watched.
All right, okay, any good?
The commentating was the poorest commentating I've heard.
Oh, really?
It was so bad, really bad. And I don't really want to I don't want to be disrespectful and diss people because I don't think it's the time and stuff. Well, usually I would, but we're trying to pay respect to a great man like John Motson. And as you said, like anyone who's ever met him has said what a man he is anytime he wanted to speak. And like going back to John Motson before we move on to Hartlepool and stuff, like even my boy, he's 14 and he got in the car and he said, oh, do you hear John Motson died? And I was like, you know, John, he went, of course he does FIFA. John Motson was the voice of
really?
FIFA. Yeah, so even the, yeah, do you know what I mean? So he was on FIFA for many years as well. I don't know if he's on it lately, but he has been on FIFA for a few years. So yeah, and when you put the face to the voice, you don't always think, ah, that's not what they
What do you, because I don't know about you, I always felt like you always look back at commentators as they're like epic, like, you know, Gerald Sinstat, I don't remember him, Barry Davies. You've got, obviously, anyone who's a big rugby fan. I've got
Matt. F1 guy was always one of my favourites.
Murray Walker.
Love
he
Murray
was
Walker.
Good.
And he got... McCullum. I hate F1. Hate it. Don't really like it at all. Don't really get it. But I'd always watch a bit of it because Murray Walker would just
go.
And he would go absolutely mental over nothing. So you're thinking, what the fuck's going on? But someone who don't know the sports...
The other one was Sid Waddell, the darts.
Sid Waddell,
absolutely unbelievable. Did you really?
Yeah, well, big darts. We used to go down to Brighton when the Premier League weren't even big, and it used to just go... like. And the Premier League final was at Brighton. Hardly anyone ever went. And yeah, a few of us went down there, and Sid Waddell was there, and he gave us big fun. And just some of his lines and his... Yeah, he was just... Sid Waddell was... He's probably my favourite Sid Waddell commentator.
I don't know what his name. I think it's Peter Alice, the golf guy. If you heard his name, you'd know it.
American guy.
No, that is. What's his name? I'm not going to remember it. I'm not even going to lie.
I know like exactly his slow American guy. Who's quite.
I know
slow
who you're talking about. He does the coaching for Ricky. I'm going to find his name out. He does the coaching for Ricky Fowler. But it's just what it's. I just remember I used to like. I'll tell you the other one I used to like. From the snooker. Ted Lowe,
yep.
Remember him? And that's a very, very difficult red. Yeah. Butch Harmon's the guy.
But the thing about commentating is, we'll come on to it with the Hartlepool game, and I'll say about the iFollowing game against Hartlepool. But commentators are there to paint a picture. Do you know what I mean? So you're watching a boring game, and it's how it happens. Like, I thought the commentating against the Liverpool-Madrid game the other day was really good. Because, again, the action's really helpful, so it helps that they're saying on the pitch. But you're painting a picture, especially if the people can't watch the game as well. So if you're on listening to iFollow, not watching the actual game, but you're just listening to something or the radio, you want them people then to paint a picture of what's happening. Do you know what I mean? So you can... And that's where the best commentators in the world can just make you feel like you're there. You're watching it live as well. And yeah, this I like the idea with the cricket. Don't they do the ear thing now?
Yeah, so at the games, you can buy headphones like a tenner. Or we've got something in there. And you can have Sky Sports. And to be honest with you, in terms of not the individual commentators, but from a commentating experience, I think the cricket's the best. I think they've got... Considering the amount of time they've got to fill, they have you know, test match special and stuff. It's incredible, the amount of stats, the amount of things they've got, the statistician next to them who's part is the full guy. I think
it works at cricket because you've got the breaks and stuff, and you've got the stuff in between, so they're having a laugh and you can hear that. Where football might not work if you've got John Watson commentating on the game.
But I tell you what, also watching. I also feel, and again, I didn't hear your comment, and I don't really get the chance to listen to Wimbledon stuff. But what I will do is, I think it's one of them things that everyone thinks is a piece of cake. And it really, really isn't. I mean, if you've ever tried for 5 minutes, put it on mute and try and do it. The game moves so quickly. You're trying to add a little bit of context. I think the way that, and again, it's those delicate balances where some football, if you, you know, and again, it's weird because if you're commentating, the guys on the radio, I presume, who are doing the iFollow are commentating as if it's a radio rather than a TV. So I don't know whether they're talking the kind of language that they use, but it was interesting. My background, a lot of it has been about visual impairment. So I've been to events and had to almost commentate, if you like, for blind guys who are with me, just to give them a sense of what's going on in the game. And it really is tough to try and get the right balance of that person is doing this without it being boring. He's got it. He's Cruyff. They don't need a running commentary. They just need to know what's happening to follow the game. So I don't listen to them too much, but it's important to defend them, I think.
I agree. And I think we'll move on to it then. I agree. And I think Mikey T does an absolute fantastic job. But this is a guy who has a experience in radio and it does talk on radio quite regularly and does that really well. He's a great commentator. I just think that we've unfortunately are too scared now to let other people into roles. I've said this before to you, didn't I? There's young people out there who I think we could maybe approach. They might not be able to do it. People say to me, oh, you'll give people stick, but you wouldn't be able to do it. 100%. I don't feel like I could.
I actually messaged him a couple of times and said, look, I'd be you name the game, an away game. I'd love just to come and watch or be involved. I'm sure they are inundated with people, but I got nothing back.
When this is what annoys me that you said that, right? And this is what really riles me up, because on Saturday, Mikey T was doing the announcing, so he wasn't on the commentary until the last 5-10 minutes. They had a guy on called Dave, I think his name was Bradford Don, and I was quite harsh on him on Saturday, and I mean, it's not all about personal digs all the time, but he was horrendous, really bad commentator. He just went back in time of where he was 50 years ago. There was no commentating on the game. He slagged off the ref constantly, was giving the ref loads of stick, which I don't think you should do as a commentator. Do you know what I mean? And we get told, a lot of fans lately have been telling us we've got to be nicer to the refs. Do you know what I mean? We're hearing that all over socials now. And he was just, and it was all down to the ref. There was no, and I spoke to some people, and some people went back to my thing about the commentators. And they said they were trying to listen and not even watch the game, and they didn't even know. And there's sometimes the game's going on. I think it was Jas Aimi was attacking, and we were doing shout outs to the Argentinian Dons or the Bolivian Dons. And it's like, I get you do your shout outs, but do them during the break of play, not while the game's going on. We've just kicked off and they've gone on attack.
In the commentating from what you get?
I don't know. 100%. But that's why it annoys me that you've put yourself forward to go, look, I can do it. But they've had some other guy on that no one really knows. And again, it's three old white guys doing the commentary. There's not, I don't think, one of them under 30, 40 years old. Do you know what I mean? Mikey T might look young and Rob might be younger than that. I don't want to disrespect them in that way. They probably look better than they are. But why not get someone like an Arash on? Ask Arash. You know Arash, who does...
He did an amazing job for us.
Geezer's stats, right? He might not want to be a commentator. I'm putting his name forward because I know he's stats mad. And why not get Tom Large? Tom Large is a journalist. He does stuff for the local paper. He does the before and after shows for 9 years. I think Tom Large would be a great commentator. Again, I'm putting his name forward. He might go, Lee, shut up. I don't want to be a commentator. Do you know what I mean? But... why I don't get why we don't have younger people involved with some of the stuff at the club. Rob, a young person, and Mikey T. It doesn't even have to be a young person, just someone who wants to do it and be good
maybe it's opportunity.
It was hard enough watching a Hartlepool game, but for me it was worse having to listen to the commentating. And this is just me being, I was probably quite harsh on Saturday because one, we threw away.
And also you're always a bit emotional after that, aren't you?
Oh, very emotional. But the commentating was very hard to take down. It was very hard to listen to. And it was, I think they need to look at it and think, what can we do? I'm not saying sack Rob, sack Mikey T.
No.
Just bring someone in who can give a little bit of insight, a little bit of commentating. Or take
some critique on board, or just take a bit of critique and, what, would it be all right if we'll, to, you know, hopefully they could, you know, they'll look at it and be positive, but I've sent them another message, so we'll see. We'll see if there's ever an opportunity, who knows?
We give Chris Thorpe a lot of stick on here, and Chris loves it really, and his head's big enough as it is. But he has upped the game with regards to the media stuff that's come out. Do you know what I mean? I was sick on Tuesday and I couldn't watch a lot of stuff. Like, couldn't make the meeting manager, obviously. So it's good that we've been able to listen. We haven't been able to find out about that because that's not been put anywhere. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, so shame on that one. So I just wanted to raise that point anyway.
We'll come back to that. but the game, Hartlepool. Yes. Go on, tell us.
Hartlepool are absolutely awful. How we've drawn that game is embarrassing for me at the end of the game. And I didn't want to go, I was emotional after the game, like, as you know, but I didn't want to go too mad because we had done all right previously. You've got to kind of give the boys a little bit of credit. But the way we conceded two goals at the end, the second goal was horrendous.
Yeah.
And this is the thing about the commentating again. Chislett, the boy gets the ball for the free kick, and they said, well, I doubt they've got a Chislett in their books.
Oh no, and he puts it top bins.
Bang, top bins, and then he goes, oh, it looks
commentator's
like they have got a Chislett. When it went 2-0 up, oh, we're just playing this out because this is like done. Boom, 2-0. It's like, come on, man. You're not
was it all doom and gloom, or was it just 20 bad minutes?
I'm not sure, because starting lineup come out, I wasn't too impressed. I texted you, didn't you? You said, well, we're going to score. Yeah, and then when we did, you had to text back and go, oh, look, I'm right again.
I got no response. You're too busy listening to the commentator.
I'm right again, but then, 2-0.
But I personally thought that there was, you know, the last, and again, it wasn't even the last 20. It was frustrating because we obviously went with, it looked like when we started the game, we were a normal formation, but very quickly we moved to two up top. I don't know what it looked like on the telly, but live, it looked like we played two up front. And we looked much more offensively balanced. El Hamadi looked so much better midfield. In fact, he started on the wing, ran into the middle to do an attack, stayed there, cross come in 1-0. And I thought that was definitely his best game for us.
What, as a striker?
I thought he was much, much better.
Flip side of that, it was probably Josh Davison's worst game that he's had for us.
Yeah, potentially.
Because he wasn't doing all the running that he normally does, because he had someone to help him. That's why when I said the lineup come out, everyone looked and thought, no Jack Curry again. Lee Brown, as good as he was.
He was good on Saturday. You have to give him credit for that.
I still think we lose a little bit when Jack Curry's not playing. Again, the back four is really surprising me at the moment because, again, Lee Brown and Gunter. Gunter, after Orin, I thought he had no way back. I thought he was never going to get back in our team. I thought he's actually done well since the Orient debacle.
I think the problem is, as well, I think Brown and Gunter have done well, but they're not Curry and Biller. And the game is 15 yards back, isn't it?
Because
Gunter can't get up the pitch and down as quick as Biller or even do it. And Biller just keeps the left-back occupied and keeps him back, and so does Curry, which opens up that room.
And also, what them two have as well, Biller and Curry, is they've both got a bit of skill about them as well.
Yeah, so they're aggressive. Biller, they want to go forward.
Biller will go forward, cut back, go forward again. Quick, boom, boom, bit of skill, bang, and he's gone. Where Gunter, as you said, Gunter don't have it. Brown don't have that in the locker. But Brown has the cross that he did. We haven't seen that lately. Crosses into the box like that. And
again, I do genuinely believe I've seen Lee Brown probably, however many times I've been at the club, I've probably seen three decent games, and I thought he had it on. I thought he was solid on Saturday, because it was none of the Mickey Mouse, I know we talk a lot about the showmanship of some of the players, but he limited it. He just got on with the job. And I felt that he was solid. But for me, the whole game changed when Pierce went off. Pierce went off and we lost.
My problem with, I was just about to say to you about Pierce, is, and we mentioned it on the debrief as well, is I was disappointed to see Pierre not start instead of Pierce. Because as we said last week on the podcast, is that Pierce can't be playing this amount of games because he will pull up.
Well, we said that. We said he can't play three games.
Pierre came in, 60-something minute? I can't remember. He had a good 20, 30 minutes then his play. But he didn't look overly fit, was a bit of a worry. And I think he struggled a bit, where he might not have struggled if he had started the game and then been able to get into it. Do you know what I mean? Especially as we went 2-0 up. First half, we didn't really have to defend that much. I think he would have grown into the game better that way. And I was quite surprised. Now Pierce is gone. We don't know how long he's going to be out, and the club won't tell us. So we're just guessing that Pierre might come in now with Paul Kaye, and it's another change at the back. And we've got some really tough games coming up. But it's I thought Woodyard was off it again for me.
Is off the pace, unfortunately. And there was a moment, I think there was a ball went and he went to run. He just got outpaced. And I feel like he's another one now that we're going to have to be very, very careful how we manage. I still think he's a good player, but I don't understand why he didn't start McAteer. And I think McAteer's got to start. Late? Well, he's got, and again, every time he's come on, I think he's looked really good.
But we
he's
said
aggressive, he's looked with intent. I don't know why he's not getting a gig.
Again, we said this on the debrief. Is the reason why McAteer's maybe not started, have we got eyes on McAteer for next season as well, for a season long loan? So Leicester has said, look, take him in January. Let him get a feel of you lot. Let you get a feel of him, what he can bring. Like a kind of loan to a permanent loan, if you get what I mean, kind of thing. Like, and then we go, right, yeah, this kid's good. We're going to get Amani Little. We're going to get McAteer. And Woodyard's going to... Marsh is off. Marsh is gone.
Yeah, I think so. I never obviously Bendel coming back. And
I heard a big rumour that we tried to get Marsh on loan to his conference team this week.
All right. So, this week?
Well, I think they can still loan players in the conference.
Oh, right, okay.
So, yeah, I don't know. Again, that's something I just heard off the grapevine. But I think, yeah, Marsh has gone anyway. We all know that. Do you know what I mean? He wasn't even on the bench on Saturday. So, as you said, Bendel coming back in. If we get McAteer on a season-long loan, if we sign Amani Little and have Woodyard, that's four not bad midfielders, central midfielders there.
Plus, you've got Pell.
Pell, who can play attacking, he can play that defence. So, yeah, and I think Woodyard then will then slot in here and there with them. And that's what I think about McAteer. Maybe we're not burning him out. Maybe we're not, do you know what I mean? We're having a look at him and seeing for next season.
I mean, I'd be really surprised if that was the case, because I don't know many.
Well, it's
back
mad to me
back
that we're
loans.
Not playing him though.
Well, and again, it's also mad that you're not playing Curry. So I don't really know what.
Oh,
the
that excuse for that though was a joke.
I think Johnny Jackson's got the impression if you play well, then you stay in the shirt, and I understand that. But I do feel that McAteer played well when he came on. I also thought Pearson was lively. He's very quick. He looks interesting to watch. Definitely better than Janna on the wing. I think Janna will be he'll adopt, as I said, the Courtney senior role. We'll use him when we need to. And again, I like Chislett, but again, I feel that there's a couple of players, particularly now. I did feel like if we didn't beat Hartlepool, life was going to get difficult for us to gatecrash these playoffs, and we're not going to really. I kind of feel like we need to give some people a decent go and have a good look. I think Armani Little needs to play a bit further forward. He's kind of, at the moment, I feel he's been a bit get it and pass, and I don't think he's bad at all, far from it. But I guess the product of what we were sold, which was a goal-scoring, long shot, dead ball specialist. Yeah. We haven't seen that aspect of his game yet.
Agreed.
And I don't think that's anything to do with, apart from the fact that he played 4-4-2 and he actually got forward and had a shot and it was saved, tells you that he's probably got attacking instincts.
And also the fact that the second goal was probably his fault for not tracking his man.
Yep.
And the goal against Orient was his fault for not putting that tackle in. And shows that he's probably not a defensive midfielder at heart. He can play that kind of role next to Woodyard, because Woodyard gets it and gives it to him and then he does the rest, but he's not a defensive midfielder. I said this before, you want him for... He didn't score 15 goals for Torquay and 8 assists, and that's Conference South level, but you don't score that at any level if you ain't playing further up the pitch.
Yeah.
So I agree with you on that. What do you think of Hartlepool's goals? The free kick was a great goal, but...
Yeah, you can't... I mean, you can't...
Do you think Sanev could have come for the second one? Because that's what I've heard a lot of.
I don't really think so. I'm frustrated that a guy of the height of the lad who had it had a last minute header. I think the really frustrating thing for me, Lee, was the fact of we gave away a silly free kick. They scored, and we went in full retreat mode. And we speak about it all the time. The teams that have got ambitions to do more go and attack and score another one. And we didn't. We went backwards. And it's annoying because I feel like had we went forwards, even before the free kick, we had opportunities to attack and we didn't. And I felt Pierce went off. We lost a little bit of confidence. We started going backwards. You can't knock the free kick. That's a quality free kick. And it was brilliant, wasn't it? And the other end right in the corner. It was annoying because I felt there's been too many times this year where we've been in the lead and we could kill the game and we haven't. Or we've had an opportunity where it's a draw and we can have a go and we haven't done it.
So I half agree with you and half disagree with you.
Well, you ain't got to do anything, mate.
I think Zanev, yeah, I don't think he's to blame. I don't think he should have come for it. There's two massive centre-halves in Paul Callanby and Pierre in the middle. Lee Brown, little, maybe could have done better with tracking the man and coming across. The littlest guy on the pitch, how he's won a free header 7 or 8 yards out to win it is ridiculous. But I disagree with you in the fact that I do think we were going for it, but our game management was very, very poor. Pell has a shot that goes flying over. Davison has another shot. When they're 30 yards, 35 yards out, they don't need to. Keep the ball, play into corners. Do you know what I mean? Bring Hartlepool out, as you say, go for it. I think where we need to go for teams like Hartlepool is first half when we're 2-0 up. That's when we should have been going for 3 or 4 because they were rubbish. Literally on their knees within 25, 30 minutes. Like they sacked Keith Kell the other day. That's how bad they are now. They've gone.
Keith Kell's the manager. He was there Saturday, wasn't he?
Yeah, they sacked him because they lost Tuesday night. Yeah, they sacked him in the week.
All right.
So I think we went for it. Our game management was very, very poor in the fact that,
It just felt really flat leaving the ground. And again, I do think it was just one of these. I don't think we play badly. It was a really poor 20 minutes. But it's just, I guess that's where consistent in our inconsistency, if that makes sense. We are reliably going to be hit and miss. And I don't really know, unless we go on a mental run, how we're going to impact. But I thought they were poor.
The problem is,
I thought they were really poor.
The fixtures, yeah, that's why they're second bottom and still really three games behind others. And I think they'll go down this year with Rochdale. The problem I've got now is we have got tough games. Even though there's teams down the bottom there, they'll be fighting for their lives. There's teams like Gino. We'll talk about it later in the preview, but I actually want to see us proper go for it now, change it up a little bit and actually go for teams and not be as defensive because I'd rather win 3-2 or lose 3-2 going for it because we're not going down this year. Do you know what I mean? Try and make it exciting. Try and make it good to watch. Do you know what I mean? And yeah, try and give the fans something to cheer and an atmosphere at Plough Lane if we can when we're there. So,
at what point do you want to talk about Hartlepool social media, by the way?
Well, I came back with them, didn't I?
But tell everyone about it.
Some of them are like rattled. I'm like, not really. It's a joke back to you lot, and you're
because wasn't it from the actual Hartlepool
things put the boy Don Good, I think, and then tagged the scum into the tweet. And it's
is he from?
He's on loan. He's on loan from them. Yes.
Ah, okay.
He's playing on loan, which I get. I'm all for it. I think it's great. Yeah. Give it back. Shithousery at the best. You know what I mean? That's social media shithousery, right? But when you lose 1-0 on Tuesday to a 90th-minute Newport goal, and also they forget that Sheffield Wednesday just beat the scum, and Michael Smith scored, I think, a hat-trick, didn't he?
Yeah.
So the boy Don Good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And also, you're getting relegated, so wait till the end of the season when you're relegated, and hopefully our social media team will actually wish them good luck in the conference. But
I thought they brought good numbers.
The problem is, I don't mind all the shit hours and stuff like that, Dan. But you've got to remember, sometimes it will come and bite you on the ass.
Yeah.
Because you're getting relegated. So why are you giving it a big? I don't get it. I'd really.
And that is when it's actually quite funny.
Yeah. Right. We'll move on. And when we come back, we're going to discuss the transfers that got us excited and the players that came in that really got us going from Wimbledon and AFC Wimbledon.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast, by the fans, for the fans.
We're back. As I said, we're going to be discussing transfers that got you excited when they sign. So they don't have to have done well for us. They don't like really bad. They could have stayed a week or 2 weeks. But when
is
they
there
sign...
anything better though, Lee, than a transfer? Like it's proper. I always get proper buzzing looking at. I always like try and look at random teams and go, he was rubbish. He was this, and I find it almost amazing how so many people go, oh, he's rubbish because Barry from Cheltenham and Dean from Hartlepool said that this bloke was crap. I just find it hilarious.
But Dan, transfers never change. Transfer windows, transfers never. You get excited the minute you sign a player, right? Yeah. Because you think, yes, we got a new player. Just for example, Joe Bloggs signed. You're like, Joe Bloggs signed. So you look him up and you think, well, his record ain't great. Like, on paper, like, just actually, Lyle Taylor. Yes. He's not one of mine. I don't know if he's.
No, he's not one of mine either.
Because Lyle Taylor, everyone go, yeah, Lyle Taylor.
No.
When you look
when,
at him,
when
on
we
paper,
signed him, he looks.
Partick
Thistle and stuff.
And you look at their records, you think, oh, or you go, nah, they're shit. Why are we signing this geezer? He's rubbish. Look at his record. Rubbish. Look, do you want to see what the Scunthorpe fans wrote about him? He couldn't kick a ball for shit. And then he comes and be one of our heroes forever. And it's really weird. When signings happen, people either go mad about them or they write them off before they... And I do it all the time.
And do you follow players who have left what they're doing? So, for instance, out of habit, I don't know whether I do. I'll look at Bristol Rovers and see if McCormick's playing.
Yes.
Just whether or not to go, well, we've got one over you.
With McCormick, I'm doing it all the time because I want him to foul.
Yeah, that's me.
And but not foul as in I'm going to go, you went, or message him. You know, like these sad cunts nowadays get on Twitter.
No, I've got no time for that.
I just want in my head go, you're not doing very well now. Do you know what I mean? I used to do that back in the day when I was a bit immature, like John Sullivan and Warren Cummins. I used to treat him and stuff, but now I'm a bit more mature than that now, where I just, in my head, want him to foul. But yeah, like Cosgrove, I'm not one of these people as well, get on the Facebooks and go, Aaron Cosgrove's just scored again. Like, I don't care, but I will if I see him score, I go, prick scored again. But yeah, like, I won't say it out loud kind of thing. But right, so I've got two from Wimbledon FC and two from AFC Wimbledon. So the first one from Wimbledon FC,
right,
wasn't overly great. He scored one probably important goal, but it was a really horrendous season, I think.
Then
we end up leaving him for peanuts. And right. I only say this is because I grew up in Essex, right? So everyone was West Ham, Arsenal, Spurs and all that. And everyone was, they used to spend money back, like 1 million, 2 million was big money back then. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right? And 5 million and stuff. When we signed John Artson.
Oh my God.
For seven and a half million.
I went mental. I was like, oh my God, have we done that? What are we doing?
And I think it was more the price than the player.
I couldn't believe we spent that much money.
And it was on the back of the paper. And it was like,
losing the plot.
Yeah. And I was like, and then I was going up to my West Ham mates going, you prick, look at that, 7.5 million. We'll buy your old club next time and all this. And it was just got me buzzing that Wimbledon.
John Hartson got me big fat John. I was so excited. I remember going to school going, oh my God. We bought someone who and it's so annoying because I hate this. Oh, he's the new this. But I generally was like, he's the new fashion. He's going to be the Wimbledon player. He's going to be this massive bloke who's a nightmare, physical. And there were glimpses, and I was like, you are magnificent.
Scored one important goal, Villa at home.
Yeah, Villa at home, yeah. Got sent off at Bradford, which killed us, though, didn't it?
Got knocked out by Dean Blackwell at that game.
Oh, did he?
Got a punch in the face, apparently, by Dean Blackwell.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he killed us that game. But John Artson, and then he went to the mugs up in Scotland.
Yeah, and then didn't he go to Coventry
he went Coventry after us, and this is what killed me, is that we ended up letting him go for 10 grand a game. And I think he only played about 12 games for Coventry, so we only made about 120 grand back, and then he got sold to Celtic for about 2.5 million.
Oh,
and it was like, what kind of business? We should have known then what kind of
I remember watching the game on Sky with that, and I used to hate that weird green kit. We played Huddersfield. He scored a couple, I think, on Sky. And I was like, oh my God. And everyone was like, yeah, but people are going to come in for him. And we were like, oh my God, are we going to lose John Artson? I don't remember. It wasn't, was it after or before it's the Shipley Connolly? Must have been the first year. Then we got Shipley Connolly.
Yeah.
And then we beat Man City 4-0.
He scored 19 goals in 49 games for us, which ain't a bad return for. Big set, and he was perfect for Wimbledon. The Wimbledon,
would have been perfect for what we wanted. Okay, well,
that was mine, and that was more price wise than the player. So, even though he was Because remember when he signed for Arsenal? When he signed for Arsenal, everyone was going mad about this John Artson geezer.
Like, from Luton, Arsenal, yeah.
Yeah, and then we ended up signing it. £7.5 million back then was literally like 20, 30 million now. Do you know what I mean? And Wimbledon had just spent it. Just, yeah, blew my mind. It made me shut all my mates up who said you were just tin pot Premier League club. So, yeah, it was good.
I got quite excited for Heffernan Cuckoo. And the reason why I got excited is it was about, I think it was about 920 grand from Norwich. And he scored 4 goals against Everton. And I remember when we signed him, it came up and it was like a cuckoo. And I thought, and it was annoying because I felt, again, I was like, oh my God, this could be that fashion. And he wasn't that kind of player. No. But on his day, I thought he was exceptional. And I think at that time, you know, we had a Cuckoo and Gale and we had, you know, all the other guys. I remember the Chelsea away game and him and Gale ripping it up. I thought he was... He genuinely, I thought, was a really good buy. I don't know what his stats were, but I think he probably scored less goals than we probably think. But I think he was for where we were at. If you look at it now, he'd get nowhere near. He'd be bottom end championship. But I thought he was quick. He always, my dad always would say to him, like, it was almost like you have to wake him up to get him to go. He was so laid back, I found. But I was genuinely really excited. He scored a really good goal in that Everton game. And I was like, wow, this is a serious statement. Also, Norwich at the time were pretty good. Yeah. And I was like, okay, we're actually buying from one of our rivals or a team that are punching. I got really, really excited for Cuckoo.
I had the chief on my shirt.
Did you?
I think it was my LNX shirt. I had Robbie L and I had, a Cuckoo on one of them. But I had some mad ones. Yeah. I had Wayne Gray at one point.
That's embarrassing.
That's what he was using, Wayne Gray.
I got Gareth Ainsworth, I'm sure, but I got Wild Thing rather than Gareth Ainsworth.
Oh my God, you should have been banned for that.
I got slaughtered.
That's a banning order now.
I remember, do you remember the game at Norwich with David Nielsen?
He scored against
he was on loan
Christmas
to them. And he's right.
So I was dressed as Santa Claus.
All right, chill out, mate. Well, I went to that game and I remember coming out and I was wearing my Wild Thing shirt and I remember Norwich fans were going mental. And he was like, oh, Wild Thing. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to get battered here. I deserved everything I got.
I hope Wimbledon fans came. I was just as far
as... It was the yellow Maxi Muscle shirt. Do you remember the Maxi Muscle one?
I can't believe we let Nielsen play against us, even though he was on loan from us. And we said, yeah, you can play. And he scored 2 goals. And he celebrated in front of us to prove.
That was annoying.
I was just as far as Christmas from Liverpool Street all the way out to Norwich. And I got so much stick all day.
He scored really early that day, Nielsen, didn't he?
And I dressed as Father Christmas at Tranmere, and I had about 20 little scallies running after me, asking me for presents.
I tell you what, it's not on my list, but I was very excited for Gareth Ainsworth coming, by the way.
Yeah.
Good rep, very direct, got the ball, ran. I love the way that he was.
Player to what he is as a manager.
Yes, totally. As a proper direct, wasn't he?
Favourite Gareth Ainsworth game. Newcastle away. Yeah, when he done them arms. Yes, mate. 3-3, weren't it? We were 3-1 down.
I didn't go to it, but I remember it.
We had about 150 women. This is what makes me laugh nowadays. We'd probably take a 1,000 up to Newcastle now. We probably wouldn't take that many, but we only had about 150 fans. And you try and sing, and then the next thing, St. James's Park just goes mad. And you just, there's no point. You might as well just sit down and go, right, we ain't going to out-sing 50,000 Geordies. You know what I mean? But I remember winding up some of the Geordies because they had a little gate. And they could see some of the pitch. Okay. We were losing 3-1. So me and my mate went down and started standing in front of them so they couldn't see. And then they threatened to kill us if they got us outside. So we decided
to do that. And you obviously ran off.
Yeah. Cuckoo's a great shirt. As I said, I had him on my shirt. But my next one, my other Wimbledon one, was Michael Hughes.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that.
He's one of my favourite Wimbledon players of all time. Like, what a player. We signed him from West Ham at the time. And there was loads of rumours going around. It was January. I think it was a January transfer window we were signing him. And I think I was at Selhurst and I was down at the front and Sam Mann was doing his walk rounds. This is before he turned into a bit of a cunt. He was always a cunt.
Was it with an elephant or not?
No. He was always a bit of a prick, Sam Mann, always. But that time we didn't really know how big a prick he was going to be. And he was walking around and I said, Sam, I said, are we signing Michael Hughes? And you know what he's like? He's like, listen, my son. I don't know if I can tell you the information, but I think we might be signing him. But I'm not sure if I'm allowed to tell you if we're not signing him. I'm like, you know, we used to speak in riddles. And I was like, and then, we signed. He played 115 games for us, scored only 13 goals. And I'm a bit disappointed he ended up playing more games with Palace than he did us, which annoyed me. But Do you remember his best ever goal?
For me, he scored a goal. I think it was at home.
No.
And it was like a lead. It was like a top corner.
Ah, that's wrong.
Okay. Apologies.
Birmingham away.
Oh, yeah. The 2-0. That was good.
2-0. And then we all kind of, there was only about 400 of us. I think we demonstrated.
I was there.
The time, and we all looked kind of down the front. And then he bangs in the goal.
That was that was a big result, you know.
We all went mental. Some people got on the pitch, got chucked. And one of my mates, U-Boat, he got on the pitch. Literally, I think he actually did shit himself. come back off the pitch because he was scared he was going to get chucked out. Literally, I think he actually had it running down his pants. And then the Zulu army from the right thought we were trying to get on the pitch to get at them. So they come steaming down, try and beat us up. But all was is because we were demonstrating so close to the pitch, everyone just went forward and it weren't,
That was a very good goal, though.
Yes, very good. Michael Hughes, he was good. A player, mate. 2.5 million, what a steal at the time as well.
I've gone a bit weird. I've gone a bit rogue on this other one. So the other notable one was the return of Vinnie Jones. I was very excited about that. I'm a big Vinnie fan. But I can't believe I'm going to say this. I was very excited at the time for Egil Olsen.
Oh, yeah.
At the time, yeah. I was going mental. Norway were doing had a great France 98.
Yep,
he was buzzing with John Carew and them guys, and he was like, the only teams I'd manage are Brazil and Wimbledon. Yeah. They beat Brazil in that World Cup in 98, and I was like, oh my god, this guy is going to be mental, and he was mental. And I still hold it, and a lot of women and fans call me out on this. I still think that if we stayed up that year, we'd have been laughing. And I think he had the right idea, but we just didn't have the personnel, and the Norwegians killed us.
I disagree.
Okay,
that we would have if we had stayed up.
I think
he was before his time.
Yeah,
because a lot of the stuff that teams do now, Pep's.
One up front.
Who's the big one? What's his name? The ex-Liverpool manager, the one with beard.
Rafa
took on zonal marking.
Yeah.
And made it a massive thing at Liverpool and stuff like that, which Eagle. But I think the problem with I was the same with you. I was really had
boots.
This. We had no, not the way that was mad on its own.
Yeah.
But the fact he was trying to come in as like an Arsene Wenger type. But he had to deal with the John Artsons who liked drinking at midday after training, having roast dinners. You know what I mean? That weren't in play then. That weren't, do you know what I mean? The nutrition and stuff like that happened probably about 2-3 years after. And he was just before his time. Because
what do they call him? Was he the professor or something? He was Drillo, obviously, but I don't remember if he had like a nickname or not.
They started calling him something like the idiot in boot or something. But I just think he was before his time because I said there was no nutritional factors going on back then. Like training would finish at Roehampton. John Artson and some of the players would be eating roast dinners, chocolate bars, and doing 10 pints. I remember coming back on a game and they were absolutely pissed out of their heads on a game, literally shouting at him because they were just abusing him because he was like, they did have no respect for him. And I think that's the thing back then is with a club like Wimbledon, like Wenger went in at Arsenal and done it. Do you know what I mean? He just went, boom, I'll bring these players in. They had a bit more funds and stuff, which annoys me because when we had the Norwegian owners, we had the funds to be a massive club, a really good, massive club back then. And that's what upsets me. I don't think people understand how rich the Norwegians were at that time. And they just didn't want to put money in. I bet they're kicking themselves now, though, that they could have put money into us. But as you said, he killed us with too many Norwegians. Remember Andreas Lund? I was quite excited Andreas Lund.
No.
No, you
all
know
you
why?
All you need is Lund.
You know why? Because he starts against Chelsea, bangs in a goal. We go 1-0 up thinking, yes, we got ourselves a player here. And then we lose 3-1 and he was pants. But then he brought Trond Andersen in, didn't he? Drillo, was that someone else?
No, I think he might have got him in.
Because Trond Andersen's brilliant. But then he brought in, who's the other, the winger? Larsson, Kettle Weller. Remember Kettle Weller?
And Martin Andreasen.
Martin Andreasen, that's the one. Kettle Weller would have been one of the best centre-backs in the world if it weren't for his injuries.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I met him once.
I'm just reading this. It says, in June 1999, the then 57-year-old Olsen made his appearance in English football when he was named manager of Wimbledon. He reportedly turned down an approach from Celtic to take charge of the London club, becoming the first Norwegian to manage the Premier League. Olsen has stated that his favourite player at the club was, who do you think?
Come on, tell me.
He said Ben Thatcher.
Ben Thatcher? Oh, great. Yeah. Good choice. I was saying, I met Kettle Weller after an away game, right?
All right. You always call about Kettle Weller. Why do you keep going on about it?
No, because after an away game, we come back on a train and all the players come back. I see him on the tube and he was taking off his Wimbledon tracksuit, putting it in a bag and putting other clothes on like he'd never played for Wimbledon. He was
like, oh, my God.
He was like trying to hide it. And I was like, Kettle.
I thought he would have been really good. I just thought it was really sad that at the end they did, they put the boots, didn't they, on the desk. And they kind of turned him into like this sort of puppet figure. And it's just annoying because it reminds you a lot of the year, obviously, last year when we got relegated, like how many games in a row we lost and we were crap. Got the draw at Villa, which meant that it was still in our hands and all of our mates got really excited. And then obviously you're a match of the day, as is my mate Fred, who's rather than ginger hair, he's got green hair. It's ridiculous.
I'm crying on match of the day and they bring it up on Premier Years every year. Pricks. He came in after Kinnear, didn't he?
We had that David Kemp.
Yeah, for sure. And then he came in
He was the permanent. And then we had that.
He had no chance.
He was going to take over. And then
coming
Terry
in after
Burton
Joe Kinnear. Joe Kinnear was like, Joe Kinnear was the Sam Allardyce's.
Yeah.
And then back. Who's the one at Everton now? What's his name? Sean Dyche.
Yeah.
Put them, but 10 times, 100 times better than them. Back in the day. So you're putting him in and then bringing it. It's never going to work, unfortunately. But yeah, I kind of agree what you're saying. I was quite excited when.
I was super excited.
And he was winning games at World Cup, beating Brazil's. And then when he said, he said, I would only manage two teams, Wimbledon or Brazil, I thought, yes,
I've got to manage. Yeah, go on, my son. So they are my two Wimbledons.
Right, my AFC Wimbledon ones.
Okay.
And it was quite an early one for me.
I've got them in little categories here, by the way.
Well, I've only got two, really, because the others are not really. Because you don't. The problem we've had over the AFC Wimbledon years, non-league, is you sign a couple of players like Matt Everards and stuff. He's like,
You're like, whatever. Who are you? I don't even.
He was just said about Ash, and then do you know what I mean? Yeah. Now he scored 50.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, John Main was the first one for me because I think
genuinely excited about John Main
because it was the first time we signed a player for a fee.
Okay,
and also we negotiated it at the game where he just played against us and scored. So we kind of said we're putting in a seven-day approach. I think it was
all that was right.
Yeah, and then we've offered him a fee. And also, you looked at John Main's record through non-league. Like, he was unbelievable. Like,
yes.
And a lot of people don't know this about John Main, but he actually went on trial for a certain club before signing for us, which he kind of didn't get in, thank God.
He was a serious
at that age, and that, it's mad to me that he didn't make it higher. He was non-league Jamie Vardy for me at that level. Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah, and then for me, I was generally excited that we had this player who was going to go on and score goals. We just signed AFC Wimbledon's first ever player for a fee. Someone that was playing against us who just banged in a goal against us, which was like, do you know what I mean? So good. Like people say about Danny Kedwell and stuff. Again, I think we signed Danny Kedwell for a fee, but I didn't know much about him, do you know what I mean, until he'd done well. And there's other players that we signed and stuff. But yeah, it was like, generally excited after that game was like, yeah, we've just signed this kid who's going to score goals.
61 goals in 91 starts.
Yeah. You look at his record before that for John Main, do you know what I mean? At Tunbridge and stuff like that. It was, he's a goal scorer. And it was, he generally excited me at Wimbledon.
Well, I didn't know too much about that. So what I've done is I've got like five different categories. And the first ones I'm going to pick are the old Wimbledon boys. So Yule, Gale, Neil Sullivan. I was genuinely like, wow. Like the fact that these guys who obviously I grew up to watch play were coming back to play. Yes, it was near the end of their day. And particularly seeing Marcus Gale at centre-back was unerring, if you like. But I genuinely was very, very excited about Matt Tubbs.
Ooh.
He scored loads of bloody goals for Crawley and God. Who was it? Salisbury City, maybe?
Salisbury, yeah.
And he got linked. He had a big move to Bournemouth.
Bournemouth, yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, this boy, he scored so many goals coming to us. Probably similar to what you have in Main. I had that with Tubbs. And he didn't quite hit the ground, did he? I don't think.
I think that's why I weren't as excited for Tubbs. I was, buzzing we got him. But I knew he wouldn't stay long.
Yeah.
Because he was that kind of player that you knew if he'd done well, he was going to be off to the next big thing. He was never staying
in the club. I mean, he was on loan, to be fair.
Yeah.
And you say that, 22 starts or 22 games, how many goals do you think you got?
15?
12.
Yeah, see, he was a goal scorer.
12. I mean,
he was the probably the step up to John Main. You know what I mean? John Main was that level, and then you had Matt Tubbs. And that's where I think Wimbledon lack nowadays. We don't have that. He was a goal scorer, quick, scored any type of goal. Yeah. Jamie Vardy-esque at that level kind of thing. But yeah, I can see why.
I was genuinely really excited. And then obviously he later on played for Sutton and we got burned by him.
Yeah.
And that really, really, really annoyed me. So yeah, he was one. And I'll do one more before yours. I was quite excited about...
I bet you're going to say this. I think you're going to say the same one as me.
Okay, go on. Who are you going to say?
No, go on. You say, because you said...
I was going to say Andy Frampton.
Oh, no, not Andy Frampton. I was
I had Andy Frampton from Palace. I thought, was he Palace in Millwall? I thought, wow, he's going to be... This boy is going to be absolutely mustard. But go on.
Bayo Akinfenwa.
No. Was you really?
Absolutely buzzing, mate. Absolutely. I loved him.
I'm the other way around.
Because I was in, I think he was playing for Northampton at the time, and you were there, you were next to me. And you know I used to love giving players and goalkeepers stick.
Really?
And I called him fat bastard and said he ate all the pies, and every time he come near, hey, Akinfenwa, you fat bastard. And he gave it back to me. And I loved it. I think if you're going to give players stick, take it back. Do you know what I mean? And yeah. He did. And then he scored a penalty, and then he came, stood in front of us, I think, and started giving it the old fat boy. And when he signed, it just, I think he...
We got him from Gillingham,
yeah, by the way. He'd been at a few clubs, and I think we were due to sign him the year before.
That's right.
And he didn't. He went back to Gillingham, and I thought, he's perfect for Wimbledon. If he ever signs for us, he's perfect. The beast mode stuff, do you know what I mean? I really wish we had signed him and kept him a little bit longer. And Wickham done a great job on getting him, because I think we should have done it. And I just like he was, yeah, I just knew. I was really excited about signing Akinfenwa. I really was. Saying I was like, yes, this player is a, yeah.
We let him go too early, didn't we?
Well, I think we did. I really do think we did.
But he did also concede a lot of free kicks. And it was annoying because he wasn't his fault.
No, but that's, yeah, you can't blame him for that, can you?
It wasn't his fault.
Ref's just annoying on that part.
He got boshed about, but. Yeah, I wasn't bothered about him when we signed him. I just naturally thought, he's the archetypal fat bloke, and he's going to be, you know, waddling about and not be great. And I don't think he was. I think for us in the League Two, the first season in particular, I thought was excellent, and the second season, I thought he was decent, but he kind of got played by the refs a bit.
And second season, he had Lyle Taylor and Elliot, and
yeah, I mean they were good. I've got three others, but you go on.
One last thing about Akinfenwa, a lot of people didn't realise just how good Akinfenwa was, because they didn't know much about him at Gillingham, Northampton and stuff like that, where if you followed his career beforehand, you just knew how good he was. And yeah, when he came to Wimbledon, I think people realised he weren't just a big lad. He could actually play a bit, score a goal here and there. And yeah, the stuff he did for us. But yeah, I was really excited when he signed. I thought, yes, this is a cult hero signing. Go on, mate.
So the only other three I've got, and I'll buzz for them because they're not particularly exciting. Kwezi Appiah.
Shut up, man.
I was, when we signed him, not after. But at the time, I thought Ghana.
After
Redding,
the loan?
I thought we would be good.
I can kind of get on board. When he came on loan to us,
yeah,
and he scored at Southend, I think it was. And we were like, blimey, this kid's good, quick, scores goals. Bit like
he was like
Marcus Fawkes when he signed, but then he got injured. And then second time, when he signed permanently for us, I kind of was like, yeah, I kind of get that. And then he turned into a bit of a prick. So
correct. But I generally felt that he, and again, I think a lot of clubs are the same. I think a lot of the clubs are like, oh, okay, he'll be all right. Jamie Stewart. I thought he was right up our street in terms of this mental bloke. The only reason as well is that he was at Millwall, obviously, and a mate of mine's a big Millwall fan and was like, Jamie Stewart. He went said the same about Alex Pearce, but I wasn't that bothered. But Jamie Stewart at the time, I think he was playing for us did he play in the playoff final? Him and Brett Johnson, maybe? Who was it? It was centre-backs.
Oh, what playoff final? Conference?
Our conference final. It was our centre-backs.
I can't remember, man. I went to Magaluf and then flew into Manchester.
Okay, well, let's have a look. But I generally felt that he was excellent on that day. And I felt, I'm pretty sure he definitely played in the first game that we played 100% in the Football League. I'm certain he played in that game where we had the weird kit. Do you remember that?
He did play in the playoff final.
Yeah, I thought he did. Jamie Stewart with Brett Johnson. Yeah, of course, I'm right, as usual. Obviously, with Gareth Gwillem, which no one could actually spell or say his name correctly.
Gareth Gwillem.
and Qaid Mohammed, who is obviously in Her Majesty's.
I was excited about Qaid.
Her Majesty's prisons. You wasn't excited about Qaid Mohammed. Yeah, what? He got himself in a world of naughtiness.
One big mistake these players make: they don't return to Wimbledon and sign permanently for us.
Qaid Mohammed was jailed for ex. Luckily, when ex Newport County forward Qaid Mohammed, he was arrested for naughty stuff. Shall we say, was jailed for more than 2 years. He might be out now.
See, this is the thing. People leave Wimbledon thinking they're going on to better things, right? When don't come to Wimbledon and live off the green grass.
Wasn't
well,
loathed,
that's where he might have got arrested for, to be fair.
And but... the other one, my last one, was, in my opinion, the most, I'll see if you can guess it, the most hyped player I think I've known in the last 5 years to sign for Wimbledon. He was hyped up to hell. We got him on loan and he was famous, you'll know, you'll get it now, because his sister went mental about him on Twitter and was going, this boy's brilliant. This
Star
is my
boy.
Brother. Who's Starboy?
Henry Lawrence.
Yeah, 100%. I remember seeing him thinking, oh my God, Chelsea, he's right back. He's under 19, under 20, whatever. He was rubbish, but his sister gave him such a high rank.
Yeah, that was very weird.
And when wasn't it weird?
Very weird. And you know what's weird? You know what's stranger? Yeah. It's all the women of fans sliding into her freaking tweets as well, going, oh, you're a star boy.
That was a little bit weird. I mean, but yeah, so I remember seeing that thinking,
yeah, not for me.
This is epic.
One thing, one rule you've got to live by now, I think it is do not fall in love with loan players.
Yeah, I think we've all learned that.
Yeah, I think you learned that. Right.
Exciting players and I reckon there's also like, you know, there's another section somewhere about where are they now? I think that will be hilarious. Looking at Guy Mohammed's in prison.
Yeah.
He's here.
There's some players doing well.
He's a driving instructor somewhere.
There's a lot of AFC Wimbledon ones.
I reckon what we could do as a bit is we could ask all the Wimbledon fans to do a where are they now to find, we'll track down five random Wimbledon players.
I really want the club, but now COVID's finished, and if Danny Macklin's listening, I really
want... If you mention one more time about the players in yesteryear walking on the pitch, you say every week, do you want to say that now?
That's what I was just about to
say.
Right,
of course you're going to say it.
Well, it annoys me. Like, Michael Hughes played 116 games for us, and he's...
Get rid of that Michael Hughes nonsense. It's AFC Wimbledon players.
Why?
Mickey Haswell, yes.
I don't want Michael Hughes up.
No, but you said Michael Hughes.
Yeah, because he's one of my favourite ever Wimbledon players. Invite Danny. He gave a lot to the club.
Go and meet him somewhere.
Kevin Cooper played about 20 games to us. He got our man and player of the year, and we gave it to him on the blooming pitch of Wolves.
His goal against Millwall was excellent.
We do mad things, but I really want especially the ex-AFC Wimbledon players.
Oh, Mickey don't Adams, say it.
Andy Frampton's.
Here we go.
Frankie Howard's. I want them. I want a thousand.
Noel Frankham. You want all of them, don't you?
I want them all round the pitch at half time. Right?
Well, we had MC Harvey on Saturday. Would that do?
Oh, what? And Jake Balfred, the freaking Wimbledon legend.
Yeah,
he's never played for Wimbledon once. He's been like, remember?
I did find that a bit weird. I was like, MC Harvey, get it. Give the kids two shirts.
Jay Bullfroyd. I didn't get it because he was linked to Wimbledon back in the day, Wimbledon FC, but he never played for it. He's out there on the pitch waving at people. Everyone's like, who's that? Is that Lionel Morgan? No, it's Jay Bullfroyd.
Is that Lionel Morgan?
Is that Lionel Morgan?
Oh my God.
Anyway, that's another show.
Where happened? Anyway, go on him.
Anyway, but yeah, if you've got, tell us the players that you were like buzzing that you signed, even if they turned out to be shit, turned out to be great. Who were the ones when we signed them, you thought, yes, we've got a player here and the stories behind it. Right, we'll move on. And when we come back, Danny wants to talk about international Wombles.
The Wombles had a dream podcast by the fans. For the fans.
We're back, and Daddy's got something to do with the international. Is it international AFC Wimbledon players? Not Wimbledon FC, because that would be too easy. But international AFC Wimbledon players, yeah? And a little bit of a kind of quiz, yeah?
Yeah, our latest squad additions, we've obviously got Ali Al Hamadi, and obviously Saiku Janna. Who is from
Ghana?
No. Close though. Gambia.
Gambia. Oh, I knew.
So I was looking at, I thought, do you know what? I wonder if Lee can remember some of the old school players
Easy.
And some of the countries that they're from.
And so, I promise I won't cheat like last time you done.
No. And again, so if anyone is interested, I'm going to ask, I don't know, 5 or 6 questions. I'm not going to go heavy. But if anyone's interested, I'll do some more. So I was looking up, and my first question is, and I'll give you one guess. Excluding England, which country have we had the most players and appearances from? So this same country, we've had the most players as AFC Wimbledon play for us. They're not internationals, but they're from that country. So the most appearances and most individual players are from this one country. Who is it?
I don't know. Confusing me. Scotland?
Scotland is third on the list. That is 9. Go on, one more guess.
Ireland.
Ireland is correct. We've had 15 players who are Irish.
Yeah, because we had Bennett, didn't we? And then we had... Who's the geezer used to... And then he went off to play... the Irish ball.
The Irish ball?
Yeah, you know the Irish game with the sticks.
Oh, hurling?
Yeah, we had a guy who went off to do that.
Well, there's some good ones here. Dylan Connolly, Shane McLaughlin is obviously recently. Reese Murphy, Irish. Connor Smith.
I saw him the other day, Reese Murphy.
Did you really?
Plays at Southend, yeah. I saw him across the road from me.
Who was it? Ryan Sweeney?
He ain't Irish.
He is Irish. And there's also some very, very random ones who were in the squad but didn't actually play. But I'm taking all these from the wonderful website Transfermarkt.
You're missing. There's an AFC Wimbledon player who we saw. He was Irish and he went off to do hurling or curling, whatever it is.
Well, I'll read you the list of names and you can tell me.
I'll tell you because I'll remember.
And just so we're clear,
is this all AFC
Wimbledon? It's Transfermarkt. Yeah. So it could be all sorts. I've got Alex Pearce, Ryan Delaney, Callum Riley, Shane McLaughlin, Dylan Connolly, Reese Murphy, Connor Smith, David Connolly, Ryan Sweeney, Frankie Sutherland. I've got Chindu Vine, Kevin Feely, Michael Collins, who went off to, he did a documentary on Sky, Alan Bennett.
No, he's not. Not on it. There's another player. Someone will tell me who it is, but there was a player. It might not be Irish, though, but he might have been English when he lived in Ireland or something. But there was we signed a player and he went off to do hurling or curling, or we signed him after doing hurling and curling.
Okay.
I can't remember which one it is, but yeah.
Okay.
I'd like to know. So, someone please let us know in the comments.
So that's none from one.
Well, I was close, so.
Close enough. We have had 4 players who have come from Ghana. Can you name 2 of them?
Ghana.
Oh. By all means, pause it. One of them we've spoken about earlier.
Kwesi Appiah.
Kwesi Appiah. And?
And also, I'd like to say, as we're talking about sad news, rest in peace, Christian Atsu as well.
Yes.
He was from Ghana.
Yeah, so terrible.
That's quite sad news. But
one of them was a random loan player. He came, he played 2 games, and he basically had a free kick.
How can you have that then? 2 games? That ain't fair.
Well, I'm just telling you, one of them is 2 players, was a random loan.
Mickey Haswell,
he's not a guy. The other one was a centre-back who played 43 games for us, 2 goals.
43 games? You think I'm Mikey T or something, don't you?
I do. And the other one was a Wimbledon player who I thought was actually quite good. Centre midfielder, young lad, midfielder.
Oh,
wow. You've got to get there.
He's gone into religion now, hasn't he?
I don't know. Probably.
Yes. Danny, you're killing me. Yeah, I know it.
Go on.
Kennedy's here, isn't it?
Kennedy what?
Oh, no, I can't.
Kennedy Ajay.
Yeah, he's gone into religion. And then
the guy I was talking about was Lloyd Sam.
Lloyd Sam? Oh, I ain't counting Lloyd Sam.
He had 2.
He's never a player for
him. Will Antwi.
Will Antwi, I forgot about.
So I thought that was quite. Ah,
Kennedy Adjei, yeah, he's still on my Facebook. He's like, I think he's like some kind of reverend or something. I think he is. I'm sure he is.
This next question is quite funny. We have had, in my opinion, let's just say, Wimbledon have prided themselves on rubbish random loans.
Yeah.
Rubbish.
Lloyd Sam,
terrible loans. We have had 3 players who have represented the club who are from France. Okay. who are the two rubbish loan players we've had in the last three seasons, both attacking players who are also from France? Think of like a rubbish winger who basically played twice.
Jake Jervis.
No, worse than that, in my opinion. And then I think this one was actually the COVID year. And we got him on the wing and the other one was the year we got relegated. This guy played up front. So it's last year, pretty much. Up front, terrible footballer.
Terry Abrode.
No, he's actually from Finland, believe it or not.
Yeah. Jake Jervis. Yeah, sorry, I mentioned Jake Jervis. I know this again.
He's playing in India at the moment.
He scored another red kick the other day. Right. Amazing. Scoring goals for
come on, who's this random winger from Rotherham? Julian Lamy. Do you remember him?
The thing is, every year we have a Julian Lamy or a, what's his name? You mentioned a minute ago. The one before. Oh, what's his name?
Kennedy J.
No, the other guy to play two games. One who played two games?
I don't care. I'm just laughing.
And then this year is going to be Janna.
Oh, you mean Lloyd Sam.
And then you have, and then this year's Janna.
We also had that random Lithuanian guy. Can't say his name. Remember, we got
Barnsley.
Him from...
Barnsley.
Yeah.
He played one game. And
he played one game, did loads of step overs. Never saw him again.
Looked like they put me on the pitch.
Who's the other guy?
No idea.
Derek Osai. Do you remember him? Derek Osai. Yeah.
He went to play for Dundee.
Okay, terrible bloke.
He played up front with... Stack Robinson the other day.
Absolutely rubbish.
He's not French, is he?
He is terrible.
Yeah, he was rubbish. Yeah, French. Yeah, he was.
Okay, so the other questions I've got a couple more for you. Let's see if I can...
They've been easy so far.
Oh, I bet they're easy. And obviously, Transfermarkt are loving life.
I thought you were just going to say, like, Bennett, where's he from? And I go, Cork in Ireland. Nice and easy.
I'm not making your life easy, mate.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is one of the questions I've also got. So I've been looking through and thinking, well, how can I make it difficult? Who is the only Albanian player to ever play for Wimbledon? Played very, very recently.
Albanian?
Mm-hmm. Currently plays in Scotland. No, in fact, he doesn't. He plays in the north of England at the minute.
Is that Robinson? He's not Albanian, is he?
He was a young lad who came through the youth. We let him
go. Oh, I know. And he came back. I know, he plays for Altrincham.
Correct. So who is it?
Kaja.
Okay. Egli Kaja, correct. Okay, Kaja. Which... Two more. I'll give you
no
two more.
No full decision that was.
Otherwise,
well.
That was a
bringing it, bringing him back. You know what I mean? League one. And he's, it's mad. Now, mad decisions we've made.
This one is an interesting one, I think. This Nigerian player...
In your opinion.
Came on loan to us. But he went on after us to play in the Premier League. And he played a number of games, I think multiple seasons. Who is it?
He came on loan to us and then played
in
the Premier League.
Came on loan to us, left us, ended up in the Premier League.
Nigeria.
Scored goals in the Premier League. He's a centre-back. Who is it? I reckon he played quite a number. I wouldn't say... I reckon he might be a good couple of seasons.
Madbach Sorensen?
No. Because he's not Nigerian.
Oh, man, you're
kidding
me.
Come on, who is it? And the team that I think he played in the Premier League for, I think he might be still there.
I think I know it, but I can't give you it. It's not in my head. Go on, tell me.
Semi Ajayi. Centre-back, tall guy, plays for West Brom, played a lot of games.
I remember that, yeah, because he was
West Brom.
He never played no games for us.
Are you joking? He played five games for us.
He said he played loads. That's what I'm thinking. He played five games.
He played in the Premier League. He scored two goals, played 33 games.
When did he leave us?
2016.
Why though?
Well, why not? Right. Well, the last one. Do you want it easy or hard?
No, do easy, then do hard.
Okay, well, I'll give you two more then. I'll give you two more.
They've been so easy so far.
Okay. Jimmy Abdu played 39 games for us, and obviously for Millwall.
Liked him.
Yes, worked hard.
Saw him at Scunthorpe first game and thought we got a player here.
Okay, what country did he come from?
Oh, I know this. Oh, is it Ivory Coast?
No. More random than that.
Don't know.
It is actually...
It's a mad one, isn't it?
Comoros.
Yeah. I knew it. Begin with a C.
You didn't really.
I did.
You say you did.
I knew it was a mad one, but I've never heard of Comoros. I think you made that country up.
I made that country up.
Yeah.
Okay, the last one then. We have had four players who have played for Wimbledon who've come from Finland.
Yeah.
In reverse order. Okay. And I mean play in terms of they're in the squad and they're in and amongst it. Okay, fine. Marcus Fors.
Yep.
Played for us between 2019 and 20.
Yep.
A very successful loan. And you could actually say that the quality of loans get worse as you go along. Okay. Yep. Next, any ideas?
Well, we've had Oksanen.
Okay. So Oksanen is next. Played 30 games. Let's get a little bit worse. We had Terry Oblade or a Blade.
Where's he now? Who, is he still at Fulham Juice?
He is. I think he must be still at Fulham. I can't imagine anybody wanting him. Who is the last player I'm talking about? So each year, we've literally had a player almost every year from Finland.
So we must have had one this year.
And he played, according to this, one game.
This year.
I couldn't tell you when it was or even if that was the case, but who is the only Finnish player that we have had this last year or so? And I don't think he played a game.
Was he on loan?
Well, what's the answer?
Well, no, but was he on loan or permanent signing?
I think it was a loan.
From who?
No idea. In fact, I think it was a permanent. I think it was one of these short deals like Courtney Senior. I'm absolutely certain it is, actually. Who is it? I'll give you a clue. He is, should we say, a gentleman who left the club and nobody knew he had left the club.
Stuart Douglas.
And you brought it up. Stuart Douglas is not from Finland. He didn't leave this year.
No, but he left the club without anyone.
Can I be honest with you? Your football knowledge is terrible.
No, my country knowledge is terrible. My football knowledge is actually brilliant.
If I said he was a goalkeeper, who would I be talking about?
So you said, I got it now. Because I was going to say, you said they left the club without anyone knowing he left. I thought you were going to say the meet the manager event.
Backslap.
Jaskalainen.
Jaskalainen. So Will Jaskalainen.
He's not finished.
He is finished. He should be finished.
He's only 28.
That's a terrible joke. But I just thought it was interesting. There was
Line that up for you.
Loads of different people from different countries, from Grenada. We've had two guys from Holland.
New Zealand.
We've had three from New Zealand, apparently. I thought it was a very easy little one. Two guys from Holland, I thought was quite interesting. I'm mucking about at work today. I had a bit of time off, as you know, teachers. I kind of looked through and I was like, how many of these players can I get? Of course, I dominated it. Got loads. But no, it was quite interesting. Some very, very random country in there. We've got guys played 90 games for Doncic from St. Lucia, a guy from Venezuela.
Well, Lyle Taylor's from
Montserrat,
yeah. I didn't even think that was a
real
country.
A guy from St. Lucia, a guy from Venezuela.
St. Lucia's Kevin. Was it Kevin St. Luce who played for St. Lucia?
Kevin St. Luce. No, Kevin St. Luce was from Guadeloupe.
Where's Guadeloupe?
Sounds like a roundabout. Guy from Denmark. I just thought it was interesting that how we've gone from this random little, you know, conference, random team from nothing to players who are coming trying to ply their trade from Denmark. I just thought it was an interesting little, just a little bit of fun, something different.
That was good, Dan. Thank you very much for that.
Oh, you don't care. And if anyone's got any interesting conversations or
international facts about our Wimbledon footballers,
we've had international fans on, we've got international players, you know, let's just keep going.
International podcast, mate. We're listened to from around the world.
I hate to say it, but yes, we are. We are a global phenomenon.
I'll tell you, talking about internationals.
This is now becoming a shameless kind of plug on our quality. So plug us away, go on.
I will do. One second.
Just to be clear, we haven't planned this. This is Lee going going off script as usual. The script is a post-it note with five words on it for me.
Most of our audience from the United Kingdom and United States, Australia.
Still thinks he's going to be, he is listening from the furthest away. My brother, he said that. And Ben Baker, you are.
Mozambique, Ethiopia, Tanzania.
The way that you said Ethiopia and Mozambique was disappointing.
Antigua and Barbuda.
Ethiopia,
UAE, Israel, China,
UAE, what?
Ukraine. Someone's in Jersey, Cambodia.
Someone's in Ukraine.
The Maldives. Someone's listening in the Maldives. Afghanistan.
Hey, we've all listened to Afghanistan.
Martinique.
Oh, that's lovely.
Saint Vincent and the Grenadines.
And the Grenadines. sounds like a band.
Saint Lucia.
Saint Lucia. I'm going there next month.
Venezuela, Indonesia, Paraguay, Malaysia, Botswana,
Saint Lucia,
Ivory Coast, Bulgaria, Taiwan. Mate, we're international wombles. That's why we're number one. Anyway, we're going to move on. And when we come back, we're previewing the massive games coming up against Gillingham and Stevenage.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast. By the fans, for the fans.
We're back for the final part of tonight's episode, or today's episode, depends on when you're listening. So it is the previews of Gillingham away on Saturday and then Stevenage at home on Tuesday. Two very tough games, Danny, and people might look at the league table if they're not sure on form and stuff like that. It's a bit weird at the moment because Gillingham are near the bottom, but got a brand new team pretty much.
Yep.
Stevenage are near the top of the table, but I think they've only won one in the last five. I think they're on a bit of a slide. People think that Stockport might even catch them. And
who's Stevenage?
Yeah, because I think they're falling a little bit.
Oh, Stevenage are falling like an absolute stone. They're 3 points clear of Stockport, and Carlisle are 2 points behind, but they've got Stevenage got two games at hand. So
but they've only won one in the last five, so they'll be coming to us with big Steve Evans, who loves us really, but can't, you know what I mean, will show up and play out. But Gillingham first, what do you think? Are you going?
Yeah. I'm going to Gillingham, and then it's my 40th birthday on Tuesday. How about that? Oh, the big 4-0. And mum and dad were like, look.
I said older, but.
We 41 maybe. And they were like, right, look, son, you know, you've been a noble son. You've been, you know, supportive, kind, considerate. What do you want to do for your birthday? Do you want to go to a nice meal? Do you want to, you know, do something amazing? And I went, no, I'll go to Wimbledon Stevenage. And that is the level of fandom that I'm at the moment.
You're doing a hospitality?
Probably not nice,
but because you said you wanted to go for a nice meal. Sorry, Danny Mac. It was just a joke.
Not even doing my part, I think. It all depends on when I get out of work. But the Gillingham game, I think, is much more intriguing than the Stevenage game is kind of I wouldn't say it's a dead rubber, but I feel like you said, I think the Gillingham game is an opportunity against a side that is clearly getting some momentum. They're playing well at home. I'm just, as you said, I'm at the point where I would just like us to attack.
Yeah, go for it.
But it is difficult because, as I said before, is that for a manager, if you play the next 10 games and you go and say, right, we're going to have a little go and attack and things don't work out, you're now on the chopping block and we're now having a different conversation. I also would love to see Harry Pearl back in the team. I know we didn't talk about it much, but I feel like he offers us as a group something different. So if I'm honest, I would have a little bit of a makeshift team, but I don't know what you're thinking team-wise.
Well, I agree about Harry Pell coming back in, especially going away to Gillingham where you can wind them up, wind their fans up. Then Stevenage, you can wind the manager.
That's got to be the worst stand in football, isn't it? Can we just get that out of the way now?
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, there can't be a worse stand.
Scaffold, isn't it?
It's rubbish, and I really hope they do something about it.
I guess with new owners, a bit of money and a bit of ambition, they're going to have to do something about it because you can't have that in the Championship, can you, if that's where they want to be in a couple of years. So I think they will, which hopefully they do sort because it is the worst. I've never been there on a rainy day, thank God. It's always been all right. One of my best ever games is at Gillingham when we were 3-0 down and 1-4-3. I think it was, or was it 3-2? Yeah, 4-3 it was. And we had a box. There was a box on the left of us giving us loads of stick, and then they were shutting up by the end of it. But Saturday's game, I think it's a really tough game. I really do. I think Gillingham are the ones probably going to have one of the best squads in the league now because of the players they've brought in. Nichols, the big guy up front, Hawkins.
Yep.
They've got geezer I really like in midfield. I can't pronounce his name. I'm not even going to try. He used to play for Southend. They signed him from Exeter. He's decent. And I think it's a really tough game. And I'd like to see Pell come back in. I'd like to see McAteer start. I'd like to see.
So how would you shape up? What are you thinking?
I'm definitely going with Curry on the left because I think Alexander's still starting games for him. and he absolutely ruined him first game of the season.
At right back, yeah, and Curry did absolutely murder him. I mean, they will be much different because they were terrible in that first game.
I think they line up similar to what I don't know if I go back to the 4-2-3-1 because I think that's how they line up. Because you've got to try and match teams, and I don't know if 4-4-2 will work against them. I think we'll get ripped apart.
But do we have to match up to them, or should they match up to us?
We're going away from home. We're a mid-table team. We've got nothing to play for. They've got everything to play for at the moment. I'd keep saying it, and I know people, and I hate myself for saying it. I'd like to see us go 3-5-2 and give it a go.
We haven't got the wing back, mate, on the right.
If we have cut, we haven't got the right. That's the well, we have. Play DJ as right wing back. He's played there before with Charlton and done a good job. Do you know what I mean? If you're going to attack teams, Dan, and you're going to go for teams, at the bottom of the table, I know Gillingham are a good side, but let's go for them. DJ right wing back, Curry left wing back. You go Pierre, PK, and Pierce if he's fit. If he's not, you go Lee Brown.
Lee Brown, yeah.
Then you go in the middle. What am I saying? What was I saying?
Three now.
Five. So three across, McAteer, Pell, Little. And then you go with Ali and the Josh up front. I don't think that's a bad side if you look at it, really. With the players that we actually have, I think you can get at them. You can get crosses in the box. You can get players forward. Do you know what I mean? Little can sit. Pell can sit if you need. You can switch it around. Do you know what I mean? And people can't live with us. Done. 3 points in the bag. Thanks.
Bosh.
But yeah.
I'm going to go a little bit left field here.
Go on.
So don't kill the messenger here. I'm going Zanev. I'm going Gunter. Chill out. Regardless of whether Pierce is fit, I'm playing Pierre. I think we've got to have at least a look at him. And I think there's a good player there. But him and Cannonby are basically the same player. But I'm going Curry, Gunter, Pierre, and Cannonby as a four. I'm then mixing it up a little bit. So I'm going to be playing two in the midfield of Armani Little and I'm playing McAteer. I'm going to go with Al Hamadi up front with Pell. I'm having Pell just off him.
Up front?
As a number 10. So I'm almost playing 4-4-1-1, but I'm having Pell as a winning headers, getting in the box.
Right.
I'm giving Davison a breather.
What?
I think he looks leggy. I think he's probably played every single game this year. I think we need to give him an opportunity just to take a bit of pace off, considering we're going to play Tuesday.
I don't.
I've got to agree. And then I am playing on the wings. I am going to, who am I playing? I'm not playing Chislett. So I'm going to play Pearson. And I'm going to play one more. Who am I playing on the wing then? Mate, I don't really want to play Al Hamadi and put Davison up front. But I don't really want to play Janna. That's my problem. Oh no!
That's why my formation and team are easier.
I'll tell you what I might do. Actually, I might put him on the right, McAteer. He can play right back. He can play on the side. Maybe I'll put him on the right. I just feel like he's got to play some football matches. I think Davison needs a change. He needs a breather.
I disagree with Josh Davison. But you lose so much if you take Davison out of the team.
But he's had
one bad game in about 10 and you want to drop him straight away.
I'm not dropping him because he had a bad game. I'm dropping him because
he looks tired.
He looks tired.
That's why he had a bad game. But you can't drop him after one tired game.
Well, no, but you're not dropping after one tired game. All I'm saying is I'd like to have a look at what else we can do. Because ultimately...
You can do that without taking out our best player.
Well, he's not our best player.
He is at the moment.
Well, he's not our best player at the moment.
Currently, he's probably one of our best players.
That was a very, very different statement to what you just
said. He's undroppable. He's undroppable at the moment.
He's undroppable.
With the squad that we have.
What do you mean he's no one's undroppable in our squad?
Well, I disagree. I think Josh Davison's undroppable. I think...
Who else is undroppable?
Zanev.
Jack Curry. Oh, no, he isn't.
Zanev is undroppable.
Okay, correct.
He's got no other goal.
Who else then? Exactly.
Josh Davison, I think.
So you reckon that Josh Davison, you would never see him dropped instead of
not
Hamadi
at the moment because he's had one bad game in 10. He literally everything else he does is.
But you're not dropping him because he played badly. You're dropping him because we need to have a look at something else. We're not getting promoted. We need to see whether or not anybody else
can
play in that position.
Anyway,
right. Well, you're obviously going to be right because you know you and Johnny Jackson are best mates.
JJ.
So JJ. But yeah, I just want us to do something a bit different, and I want to have a look and see how we might operate in a different way.
What do you reckon? No doubt
we'll go the same. Predictions, again, I'm normally very accurate at this.
How many points do we need out in the next two games?
If I'm really honest with you, Lee, I think it's completely irrelevant.
I think we need three.
What, to be in a chance of going up?
No, I don't care about going up. I just think we need to win a game.
Oh, sorry.
Or Stevenage.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought it was like, oh, we need to.
Well, no, but can we lose both games and everyone be happy?
Well, Lee,
it depends on the manner of the defeat.
We can't make a misplaced pass and you not moaning about it. So, I mean, it's a shambles.
I ain't
personally.
That.
All I'm looking for is us to play on the front foot, aggressive football. And if we lose 3-2 and we've had a right old go, I've got absolutely no qualms of it.
But we have to have a go. That's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. But that doesn't guarantee that we're going to win.
Which won't happen under Johnny Jackson.
No, but that's my minimum requirement, is to one of these two games to have a right old go.
You know what you should have done?
On Specsavers.
No, you should have put that question into him at the Meet the Manager.
Do you want to mention the Meet the Manager again?
I know, but you couldn't go and you couldn't then put a question in, and then we didn't know what the questions or answers was after. Anyway, predictions.
Gillingham 1, Wimbledon 1.
Ooh.
Wimbledon 2, Stevenage 1. Birthday celebrations. I'm going to get at least 3 cards.
And that's what matters, isn't it? Two of them are from yourself.
Two of them from myself, and one from the next door neighbour who doesn't know me.
I'm 2-1 Gillingham, unfortunately.
Really?
They're strong at home. I think they've got a decent side at the moment. I think we might, if we do go for it, we'll, yeah. And then I think we'll beat Stevenage 2-0.
Really?
I think we'll play like we did against Orient at Stevenage, because that's the kind of team that Stevenage have got. I think he'll be playing up on the sidelines, which will roll our players up a little bit and get us going. Always does. But yeah, well, your birthday on Tuesday. I've got my boys' birthdays this weekend. It's a good time to have a birthday.
It's a great time to be alive.
I got my eldest is 14 on Saturday, and my middle child's 7 on. No, my eldest is 14 on Friday, and my middle child's 7 on Saturday. They were born a day apart.
Both Pisces. Unbelievable, man, lads.
Cost me a fortune, these
kids.
I
bet it does. But, so I think it's quite an interesting time to be us at the minute. I think we've kind of, most fans have got to the point where they're like, okay, do you know what? We'll take whatever happens and are sensible. But I think a lot of people have got one eye on, okay, well, how good are these people? And particularly looking at the guys who are not at the club at the minute on loan. I've gone there, obviously, at Dartford. Bendel at Eastbourne, etc. Yes. I think a lot of people have got
Williams
one eye on others.
Casual, which is, I think, a big move for him. I said it before. His mum kept shouting out getting him in the team. He's gone on to play men's football. If he does well, you know what I mean? It's another step. And
the best thing about us, Lee, is that there's definitely a pathway for these young people. There are some clubs where, frankly, you're a statistic. It's, and we're not talking about just Islam, but that we are a club that are going to give people game time.
I think it's hard. People say interest in Wimbledon at the moment is very hard to put together because obviously some of the football's been drab and nil-nils and stuff like that don't exactly help. But I think you're right with the interest in time. We've got new football, head of football operations, a new DM, MD, sorry, DM, MD. Johnny Jackson's first season in charge with Terry Skiverton. I think everyone was happy to have a mid-table to finish this season. As much as we want the playoffs, win the league, go up, I think everyone was like, we just need to stabilise a little bit, especially after the last few years. And we've looked at the league and thought this league is terrible, to be fair. Later on, we're walking away with it and they're an awful side.
Yeah, I agree.
I think next year will be the year where everyone goes, actually, I want a bit more excitement. I want us to see us go out and win games. And do you know what I mean? As you said, it is an interesting time. And hopefully everyone, all the fans, can get all the information about it.
I agree. I totally agree. So I think it's an interesting week. And next week we'll come back and we'll tell everyone about why I was right and how amazing I am, I suppose.
Yeah, and you'll be 41, so.
40.
Nice. Anyway, that's it, Danny. Thanks again for joining me tonight.
Do you want to finish off with a John Motson, your tribute line?
I was going to say, yeah. The crazy gang have beaten the Culture Club.
My actual favourite one is, it's a weird and wonderful world if you come from Wimbledon.
Yeah, rest in peace, John Watson. Come on, you dunce.
Go on, Wombles.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Wombles Had a Dream podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Wombles Dream and on Facebook at the Wombles Had a Dream. Get involved. By the fans, for the fans.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.